Just before Easter, we saw the election of a new pope. And I don't know about you, but I watched the entire process with much interest and sometimes with some nervousness. The election is not simply about who is going to be the next pope. It's about how the cardinals think. The election sometimes is an indication of how the cardinals perceive the future and what the future of the church is or should be and what they could do through the election of a new pope. And so, it's very interesting, isn't it? For the first time, we suddenly had a pope from a place where there's never ever been a pope, from Latin America. And to everyone's surprise, he takes the name Francis. So many people would have thought that he would have continued with Benedict XVI or perhaps John Paul III, because John Paul was so popular. But he took the name Francis, and among his first statements, he indicated his preference for the poor and then for reform in the church, internal reform in the church. Those of us who loved Benedict XVI, we know that he was greatly enamored by Christ, he was captivated by Christ, but he expressed it in stunningly intellectual manner. He was an intellectual pope. Francis, on the other hand, is clearly a pastoral pope. Pope Francis created a flutter when on Holy Thursday he decided to celebrate Mass at a juvenile detention center, and he washed the feet of 12 of the inmates there, two of whom were women and were not even Catholic. And the whole Catholic world and the secular world just watched, and I think they were stunned. What does this action mean? Who is this guy who calls himself Francis? So the reason I begin my homily with this election of the Pope is because today's scripture really is all about the church. On the one hand, there is controversy breaking out in the early Christian church. I'll talk about that in my first point. But then you also see apostolic succession taking place. People in Antioch send people to Jerusalem, right, to talk with the apostles. And then, of course, Jesus gives us an assurance of the Holy Spirit. The gospel passage that we have, where Jesus talks to us about the Holy Spirit coming and the disciples keeping his word, and those, the context of that passage is the Last Supper. The Last Supper is just over. And right after that, Jesus begins to talk to them as if in a farewell discourse. And today's passage is exactly that. It's a farewell discourse that Jesus gives to his disciples. The future, when Jesus is sitting at the Last Supper table, the future looked rather bleak, but it also looked promising. It was rather bleak because Jesus would very soon be handed over. Judas would sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Peter would deny him. He would be crucified. And even after he rose from the dead, the disciples would be persecuted. So the future looked rather bleak. But it also looked very promising. Promising because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said that he would send to the disciples. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the church would continue to grow to be what it is today. Sometimes our future looks bleak as well. Perhaps bleaker than it looked to the apostles when they first sat for that Last Supper. But I think we must trust the words of Christ. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. That promise continues, I think, to hold even today. So I want to offer basically three points of reflection on this rather complicated readings. If not complicated, they're complex. I wish they were simple, but they're complicated. So first, let me talk about the church then, the early church, and the church today. Right? I want to draw some comparisons. So if you listen to the first reading very carefully, we get an insight into what the controversy in the early church was. So there are the Gentiles, and there are the Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians are demanding that if anybody wants to become a Christian, they've got to be circumcised. In other words, they've got to be brought into the church by first becoming part of the Mosaic tradition. And the Gentiles are saying, why? I could become a Christian purely because of my faith in Christ, because faith is given to us as a grace and it is free. So that's the problem. And it's a huge problem. But it's also how the problem is resolved that is very important. That is also the focus today. Paul and Barnabas, who are in Antioch, they send a delegation to the apostles in Jerusalem. So this is where apostolic succession is beginning to emerge. And the apostles then send their delegation back to Antioch with a letter. And the letter merely says that, no, you do not have to be part of the Mosaic tradition to become a Christian. You can just, and then they give a few other moral instructions. Basically, what the scripture reading is trying to tell us is that the words of Jesus are true. The Holy Spirit continues to guide the church. Yes, there are difficulties, there are problems, there are complications, but the Spirit of God guides the church in making decisions and helps the church to be who she is called to be. So that was the church then. And then we have the church today. The church has very contentious issues to face today. Issues related with sexuality, with gender, marriage and family, the role of women in the church, pre-Vatican traditionalism versus post-Vatican liberalism, the protection of children, the role of theologians in the development of doctrine, and the role of the hierarchy. And the church has to face these issues, and sometimes we find ourselves very divided on this issue. And then we have our contemporary world and culture. In the Holy Roman Empire, everybody knew who has the truth and what the truth was. Today, everyone has their own truth. Right? In this context, how should the church find its place in the world? And how and what place will the church have in the world? How does the church view the world? And what place will the world allow the church to have in it? These are all important questions for today. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is with us. So if you think about the church and its contentious issues, and you think about the world, the question we ask is, what shall we do? We are the church, aren't we? What shall we do? So let me go back to two very wide-ranging things the church did which have an impact on how we think today, right? Many of you remember about two Advents back, the language in the church changed. One day you came to church and he said, and also with you, and the next Sunday you came, we said, and with your spirit. Do you remember that? How many people agonized over that change? And everybody asked why, including me, right? And now, a year and a half is over, the dust is settled, it all seems normal again, and we seem to be okay. Even for me, it took humility to accept that even though this was not a decision I was in favor of, that somehow the Holy Spirit was active and alive in this change. I may not like it. Many would not have liked it. But we just have to believe that somehow the Holy Spirit was active and alive and still is. It's just part of being church. On the other hand, when Pope Francis washed the feet of women and non-Catholics on Holy Thursday, gosh, there were people who agonized about it because they said he's breaking the tradition of Jesus. He washed the feet of men and they were all disciples, not the feet of non-Catholics and women. And people agonized about that. I hear people say today that when Pope Francis talks about the poor, he really means the spiritually poor and not just the materially poor. And now Pope Francis has appointed a very special committee, cardinals from all over the world, and he has asked them to figure out how we can reform the church from the inside, particularly the Vatican and the Curia. Some will be happy about these decisions, and others will be very anxious, and they will be troubled. I guess what I'm trying to say is, the church is no different today than it was in the early Christian church, isn't it? It was divided then, it's divided now. Or there were contentious issues then, and there are contentious issues today. But what is it that stays constant? The presence of the Holy Spirit. It takes courage and humility to believe that the Holy Spirit is with today's church in the same way that the Holy Spirit was with the early church. And I certainly believe that in times when I'm proud of the church, and in times when I'm not so proud of the church, the Holy Spirit is guiding us. When we are proud with a pope like St. Francis, or we are ashamed with what happened to children in our church, somehow we've got to believe that the Holy Spirit is with us. The election of the new pope and his example for me surely is evidence to the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us. Thirdly, I want to talk a little bit in very simple terms. The readings, as I said, are complicated, complex, and the way I've chose to reflect on them also seems to give the impression that this is all very complex, right? But there is a simplicity that I do not want us to miss in all of this. And the simplicity is in the words of Jesus. Listen, Jesus says to his disciples, those who follow him, Jesus simply says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." That's simple, isn't it? If you're my disciples, keep my word, and we're all good. The Father and you and I, we're all good. Just keep my commandments. Keep my word. In other words, in the midst of all the complexity that the church faces in the modern world, we have the rock-solid foundation of Christ's life, his words, his actions. That we have. And that is not complicated, and there are no controversies about that. His life, his words, his actions, plain and simple. If you love me, you will keep my word. And watch the word. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Plain and simple. So yes, this is a complex world, this is a complex church, there are contentious issues, but there is a simplicity in what Christ is teaching us. If you and I can keep our eyes focused on His Word, His life, His actions, then what Jesus says will come true. Peace I give to you. Then we do not have to be afraid. As Jesus says, do not be afraid. Because then our life is built on the rock solid foundation of Christ's word, His life, His actions. We can try our best. I try to do that. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail. I'm sure that's your story as well. But we got to keep trying to stay faithful to His word. And the best assurance is that the Holy Spirit is with us. So let's pray for our church today. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the world. Let's pray for all the areas where we want God to be alive, the Holy Spirit to be alive and active. And as we offer this Eucharist, may it be an expression of our love for God, our love for our neighbor, which is the church. The people of God said,